Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hi, I'm Alex Morgan from EcoRate, and I'm here with Dave and Jen from the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Excellent. Welcome. Thank you so much, Alex. Good to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All the way from New York. Whoa. The place where Alicia Keys sings about New York. Yeah. It's awesome. Very good. We've been there a few times. Love New York. Mm-hmm. We had a friend that lived in Bushwick and went to visit him a few times. Very interesting place to visit for a Canadian.
Yeah, there are some great coffee shops in Bushwick.
Oh, yeah. So cool. Yeah. And then we got to do the whole tourist thing as well, which is always cool.
Yeah.
I was there when David Letterman was still filming. So I stood outside of the Ed Sullivan Theater and got my picture done. And we're on the Empire State Building. And that was really cool. Yeah. So we love New York. So we're kind of thinking of all those great things as we talk today. So great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you have a very unique app. And we wanted to get on and talk to you about it because it addresses something that I think almost everybody has come into contact with. And that's just when you go to a coffee shop and you grab your cup of coffee and you head out the door, you finish your coffee cup and some people unfortunately just throw it on the ground, which is sad, or it ends up in the garbage and we continue on in our day and we don't really think about it, right? It's just a convenience thing. We grab our coffee and go. And for a lot of people, it's a ritual. It's something we do every day. And we don't really have a thought about the impact that we were having on the environment and just how we shop and how we do our day. So you've come up with this app and I'm curious about it. And I'd like to know a little bit about how this all came to be. It's called EcoRate and it's all about rating cafes and giving them a score on how eco-friendly they are as a customer, giving feedback on the cafe. And I'd love to know where the idea came from to have this app, how long it's been in existence, and if you can kind of introduce it to our audience, and I'd love to kind of share what you do with them.
Sure. So, in a nutshell, that's what we do. We are a ratings platform right now just for cafes. We would like to expand it to other types of venues later. But, so we help people. Really what we want to do is give people the opportunity to make purchasing decisions based on environmental criteria. So right now that's not very practical because all the major ratings platforms are sort of just on subjective opinions of people. And I mean, that's understandable, but that's, I started EcoRate because I really wanted something that was both environmentally focused and also objective rather than subjective. And so the environmental focus was I really wanted to find something that could have a big impact, but also a very visible impact in a lot of different ways. And so coffee seemed like the best, coffee shops seemed like the best way to start because it's something that's sort of a daily habit for a lot of people. And so I think it's a great place to sort of have people stop and think about the sustainability of their choices. And also it's one of the sort of easiest wins because when you go to a cafe, if you drink your coffee on site, then, you know, the cafe already has probably dishwashers and all the stuff that they would need to wash mugs and things. And you know, all the coffee's there, all the things that you need to make it from a single-use stream into like a reuse system is all already there on site. So it's a pretty easy win. And the win isn't just environmental, it's also it's just a better experience. So if you know, you do stop and think about the cafes where they do serve like dine-in drinks in mugs and glasses and things, they're probably much nicer places to be than places where everything is single-use disposables. So there were really kind of a lot of things that went into it as far as, you know, creating this app the way it is and starting with coffee shops.
Great. There's a coffee shop here in downtown St. Catharines. We have a coffee shop, and they I think we talked earlier, they have the coffee mugs, and when you dine in and have your coffee in the coffee shop in downtown St. Catharines, you can have your mug. And it felt odd to have a coffee mug, because it's like it kind of went away, and it became like, you know, just disposable was normal, even if you stayed in the restaurant. And to have them offer you the coffee mug, and it's funny because they have coffee mugs, they're all different colors and sizes, and they're not even just like all identical, they're just random coffee mugs. But it was a really kind of a unique experience sit down and have a coffee and drink out of a mug like you would at home. And it was funny because for me sitting there, I'm thinking it's kind of surreal. Like growing up, we'd go to a big donut chain or whatever, and they'd always have the porcelain mugs. And that was normal to have your coffee in the mug inside the restaurant. So, but then to go to find it again, like we've kind of come back full circle where people are like, in my restaurant, I want to serve them in mugs. And I think a cafe like that, that is focused on reducing waste, should be celebrated and should be promoted because they're doing something tangible that's having an impact. So I like the idea of having an app that calls out a cafe and rewards them with a rating so that people know about them and they can make a good conscious choice before they go to any other cafe. They'll go to this one first because they serve it in that way.
Yeah, that's definitely right. So it's easy to have the impression that there are only sort of these big chain cafes that, you know, that don't give any regard to sustainability and just serve everything to go all the time. But when you do stop and look, you really can find these sort of neighborhood gems, you know, almost anywhere. So it's really nice to be able to highlight them. And, you know, because there already are cafes that are doing, you know, the right thing and making good environmental decisions. And so it's so great to be able to highlight them for the work that they're already doing.
It's amazing. So we're here with Alex from Equal Rate. And I like how you said neighborhood gems.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
That's a really good term. Yeah. I like that. Really, yeah. I really do like that, Alex, because that's exactly what it is. You know, you have your little mom and pop shop, and it's hard to compete against the big guys. So anything you can do, any kind of promotion that you can get that says that I should come to this mom and pop shop, and if it's simply because they are eco-friendly, that's a leg up against the big giants around you, where convenience is king and in and out the door real fast and I grab my coffee to go. But if I'm a good eco-friendly conscious consumer and I really do want to make careful decisions with my buying, to have an app like yours gives me the knowledge and the ability to find these neighborhood gems that you talk about, mm-hmm. you know, and reward them. And I think it's kind of like a secret club almost using your app, is that I have access to places that people might not know about, right? Mm-hmm. And reward them with traffic, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's really smart. It's really, really smart.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's really nice to be able to highlight them for what they're good at, and also give people specific expectations for what the sustainability sort of scene is at a specific place. So we try to make it as easy as possible for people to see two main things just like at a glance on our map, but also lots more small details when they sort of tap on a specific cafe on the map. But the two main things that we try to show are whether or not a cafe uses reusables for dine-in drinks, and the other is whether or not they allow people to bring their own thermos and get a to-go drink like that. It is a little tricky though. It's even if you're using a thermos to get a to-go drink, it's like you still want to do it at a place that uses reusables for dine-in, because if you're getting your drink sustainably, but you're still supporting a cafe that is not sustainable, then that's like not a huge win. Especially since the vast majority of drinks are, not served in thermoses. They're mostly served in either mugs or to-go single-use cups. So we give people those sorts of expectations. We also show whether, a place composts or recycles and things like that. And all that information that we get is based on the reviews that people leave. So if you go to a cafe, whether you think it's sustainable or not, it would be super helpful if you would leave a review on the app of that cafe help us get this data. So it's really built up from the community of EcoRate users. So it's kind of like what you were saying about how you felt like this was sort of a secret club or something. It's definitely a community of people that are helping each other out. And so it really does make a difference, even if it seems like a small thing. But basically, when you leave a review, you get asked a bunch of, objective, just multiple choice questions about the things that you got and how they were served is basically what it boils down to.
So like what would be a couple ideas of questions?
A couple ideas would be like, you got a hot, what kind of thing did you get? You say, okay, I got a hot drink. And so they would ask, what kinds of cups are used for dine-in drinks? And you would say like, disposable cups and also mugs. And then it asks you like if there's a discount or a charge or something for any of those. And also if which cup is the default, that's pretty important. I think that more than anything, it's not so much that people really want disposable cups, it's just kind of become the default. So when a cafe has just the default of using mugs, or at least if they ask people, then that makes a huge difference. Rather than just having it as a thing that's available if you ask, it's much better to have it as the default. So it's all these questions trying to get at basically what types, how are the most common types of orders served, and how much the cafe does to sort of promote the more sustainable options among those options that they have.
So how old is the app?
So the app has been available for a little under a year. We started in May of last year, and we've already got sustainability information on over 1,000 cafes. So, whether that's like full on ratings, or also sometimes we have information about different, we call them cup shares. So sometimes sort of like a shared thermos system where you can borrow a thermos from a cafe at usually no expense and then return it to a different cafe in the system. And so it's just sort of a little more convenient. You don't necessarily have to have your own thermos like on you like on hand when you go to a cafe to still have use a reusable cup to go. So there are a few different programs like that around the world, and we show people where a few of them are. And so you can sort of know ahead of time like, oh, I can return my cup here or whatever.
So yeah. For the cafes that are on the app and have been reviewed, I think we talked about this initially, but is the cafe reaching out to you and asking you to be on the app, or is it from the customer leaving a review?
So it's from the customer leaving a review. I definitely do try to work with the cafe owners as well, but it is, you know, it's basically, you know, they don't have to participate to be reviewed and to be on the app. But I definitely do talk to as many cafe owners as possible. And, you know, some of the things they say are really interesting, too, because it's easy to think that it's just a question of, like, you know, maybe the being able to get mugs or, like, dealing with ordering disposable cups or whatever. But, you know, especially when there were more cases of the coronavirus in New York City, some cafe owners were telling me that they were just having a hard time having enough staff to use reusable mugs and things to, like, just sort of get through all the dishes and everything. But that is thankfully, like, improving quite a lot pretty quickly. So anyway, it's definitely very helpful and productive to talk to cafe owners. And, you know, if I could just say a small word, you know, if anybody's listening that owns a cafe, a lot of, especially small cafe owners are a little concerned about getting rated for sustainability measures, because certain things are sort of out of the control of a small business, like certain cities compost and others don't. Like in New York City, the support for composting is quite poor. And that's something that would help their score, you know, if they did compost. But you've got to keep in mind that the ratings, it's not so much being like the highest rated place in the whole world, because nobody's going to, like, go to a different city to get a coffee. You know, it's like being higher than sort of the average in your area. And so anything that you can do to improve your sustainability is going to help you stand out in that regard. So these things that are sort of citywide even if they're out of the control of the cafe owners, that doesn't mean that they can't still stand out for the things that they are doing.
So is it difficult to create an app? Like, I see these apps in the app store all the time. I'm on your app right now. Is it something that's difficult for somebody to make? Because I have no idea how this would even come into be created, right? To have all this information and stuff. It's amazing. It's impressive. So, like, how did you come to do all this?
Well, it was a challenge. I was a programmer before this, but I was not at all this kind of programmer. So I never programmed anything like visual. And so creating an app was not sort of my strong suit by any means. But there are now lots of tools to make it easier. And so in particular, what I do, since I mostly work solo, is I just have the website, and then the website gets sort of repackaged as an app. And so that really reduces the amount of different things that I have to do. But what I'm finding now that the app is, like, working, and there are users, and it's sort of in a pretty good initial phase right now. What I'm finding is that the real challenge is community-based. So really building a community of people that want to make decisions based on environmental criteria and things. And you've got to get the word out, and you've got to get people sort of excited about this. And, you know, I'm not like TikTok famous or something. So that's been kind of a challenge.
Well, not yet.
Soon, yes.
Yeah. It's got to work on those dances a little bit and you'll be all set, right?
Yeah.
I'm really good at TikTok, so no, not at all. Yeah. So building a community around the app will really help. How do you promote the app?
So right now I'm, our main channel is actually on Instagram, I guess, of, you know, like reaching out to people and things, but also just trying to, build up more resources of like, you know, having more partnerships with either cup share programs or, you know, there are a few different ways that you can sort of, source information, about, you know, lots of cafes at the same time. And I think just as it's a more useful thing, as there's more sustainability information on it, then it's a more attractive place for people to be and, you know, to use as a ratings platform. And so, yeah, I'm looking into, sort of promoting it more and in different ways. And so I'm really grateful for the opportunity to, talk about this on your podcast. But I'm also open to any advice people have.
Yeah. So I think we met over Clubhouse together. Yes. I think we were in a room together on Clubhouse. And that was really neat to do that. I kind of stumbled in the room. I think the topic was about upcycling. And we have our business, Upcycle Canada. So I just kind of came in and sat and listened. Just impressed with the people that are promoting upcycling and being eco-friendly and you know, the circular economy, everything, right? I'm just listening to all these experts, including yourself, in Clubhouse, and I just jumped up on the stage, and I was just overwhelmed and excited to chat, and that's how we connected. So Clubhouse is a great tool for somebody with an app who wants to connect with other people or somebody in your space. Is this your main career? Are you doing this on the side, or...?
Yeah, I am doing this full time now. So yes, it is my okay. main job. It'd be hard to, I mean, there are a few people that are doing like side projects for EcoRate, but I'm the only like full time person. So it would be hard to really make progress, you know, just as an individual, just working on it part time. Yeah, like you said, it's really been great to see other people working in the sustainability sort of sector. And so like that Clubhouse group you mentioned that was run by Rachel Cerruti of another group in New York City called Reclipped. And they're more focused on sustainability of fashion. And I just think that's really great because there are sort of so many aspects to sustainability, and I'm sort of addressing one aspect, but it's really great to work with other people. And so, like you with your shop, you know, your reuse shop, and encouraging people to do sort of not just do-it-yourself projects, but also like artistic projects in environmentally friendly ways. I think that's really great. You know, so it's really nice to see all these different. You know, approaches to sustainability that you get when you reach out to this sort of community.
That's right. Like everybody has their lane, but we're all on the same path, I guess. We're all headed in the right direction, same direction. But we each have our own lane that we're experts in what we do to an extent, but we're all kind of headed towards the same goal, which I like. We do have classes at our store, which Jen leads. And we do serve coffee, but they are in mugs, just so you know. So okay. We don't really rate on EcoRate yet. We're not a cafe.
Well, we should get you on the map. I think ultimately anywhere that...
We are part of the EcoRate family just for doing that. So, yeah, we love it. It's great. Yeah, we only serve it in mugs, so which we wash.
We do.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So, it's great. So, I love it. So, the app's been around for just about a year or so, right? How many users right now are interacting with the app?
So, we're still pretty small right now, but it's coming along pretty well. So, we've got a few hundred downloads of the app, and we've got sustainability information on, I think it's about, something close to like 2,000 cafes.
Okay.
And that can increase, you know, just as people leave more reviews and as we line up more partnerships and things. So yeah, it is coming along. It's you know, a bit of a bit small still, but in a few sort of pockets, it's a little more more active. So in New York City, in particular, which is where you know I'm based, but also more and more in Portland, Oregon, and so it's great to see like a really big. I mean, it's a small city. Portland, but
yes,
it's a really big coffee city, so that's really nice to see. You were saying about how you do serve coffee at your place. I think that's really cool. I really would like to stress to people that when you make decisions based on environmental criteria, you're also sort of getting really great decision making for free on other things. Like I really can't stress enough, like how much nicer it is to be at cafes that are more sustainable. It's, you know, it's maybe not 100% of the time, but definitely the vast majority. And so like your shop, you know, you could have just sort of more of like a basic hardware shop and still be sustainable. But, you also do all these other things that make it just like a nice place to be. And you know, you have a focus on like, unique items. And so this is sort of artistic focus and you see more and more of those things when you start, consciously making the decision to go to sustainable places.
So do you think the future of EcoRate will broaden beyond coffee, or will it always be focused on cafes?
Well, so yeah, we definitely want to broaden beyond coffee. So the next two sort of most logical things are going to be also to support restaurants. So there's this great nonprofit out in California called Plastic Free Restaurants. And so they have a network of restaurants that they've confirmed use zero single-use plastics front of house. So we show the restaurants that participate, you know, that are identified as plastic free from them. So we already show it for, you know, their sort of certification. But we do want to have more like full-fledged restaurant reviews. It's just it's a little tricky because when you have sustainability criteria, it is quite specific to the specific type of business that you're reviewing. So you can't just use this, even a cafe and a restaurant are quite similar. They're still different enough to where, you know, when you go to restaurants, they're going to be a lot more plates and stuff like that than you would get at, you know, and fewer mugs than you would get at a cafe. And so you have to sort of do this deep dive into like life cycle analysis of all these different, different items that are commonly used in that type of business. And so anyway, so yeah, but basically restaurants we want to support more and more. And then also zero waste stores I think would be great to support. And since they're already zero waste and EcoRate is about reducing waste, we wouldn't really do ratings for them. Because they would just sort of naturally score very high. It wouldn't be super interesting. But what would be great is to show the different items that you can buy zero waste there, and so that people could search sort of by item and find the store that sells that item zero waste that's near them.
Yeah, because our store is not food-based, right? We're selling physical products that are made out of discarded items. But like, for example, we sell a whole line of household paint that's recycled. So it's paint that's been taken to the dump and taken to a landfill and then collected, repurposed and reformulated and sold again as new paint. So like we score really high in eco-friendly products that you can't get anywhere else, right? So when I look at this and I think of coffee and reading cafes and stuff, I'm a little jealous because I'd love to have our little business, not food related, but our little business get in the club and be part of this secret neighborhood gem club that you speak of, you know, because then people would know about us more. Because again, as a small business, it's hard to get your name out there and to get in front of people, right? So that intrigues me about the whole concept of the app and having the customers be the one that lead the way and not the owners of the cafe being the ones who are telling you that I'm good. It's the customers saying, no, this is a good place. I was there. And they're doing it exactly the right thing. So it's exciting to be able to have that kind of feedback come from the customer.
Yeah, it's, you know, one thing that's really nice too is like highlighting all these different sustainable businesses and things is you hear all these solutions that maybe once you hear them, they sound obvious or something. But like I'd never heard of recycled paint until, you know, we talked the other day. So that's like that's such a great solution. And, you know, and especially the way you describe it, like recycled paint maybe sounds like it would be just this like murky gray color. But you're saying that they remix them into standard colors.
Yep.
And you can have really like sort of you have a whole palette of choices and things. So it's really just like a like just a win. There's really no downside to it.
It's sad if you think about it, right? If somebody has a little bit of paint, what do? They just wash it out in the sink and down the drain it goes, and that's it. So somebody magically will fix up and clean up after me. I just dump it down the sink, right? And it's like, really? Like that's where we've come to, is you just someone else's problem, they'll take care of it. I don't know what to do with it, so I'm just going to throw it away, right? And it magically just gets the eco-friendly police take care of it. I don't know what happens, but they just take care of it, right? But so as a consumer, you just feel disconnected from the whole process, right? You buy the product, you use what you need, you dispose the rest. You buy a coffee, you throw the cup on the ground, you walk on, do your day. Someone else will take care of it, right? It's not my problem, right? I need the convenience of having my coffee, and I need to be able to get it and go. I don't have time to deal with the environment. That's someone else's problem. That's why we have apps. They take care of it. I don't know how this all works, right? So I think that we as consumers really need to step up and be a part of the solution, right? And then to have somebody like yourself come up with an app that encourages us to be part of the solution, helps to kind of make it more of a community top of mind thing. Even in the simple thing about buying a coffee, right? Or buying a drink at a cafe, you're providing a platform for people to think clearer with more clarity about how my actions impact others, really. And I think that's kind of it's to be applauded and encouraged and promoted. That's kind of why we wanted to have you on, is to share this. And this is not just in New York City or Montreal, St. Catharines, where we are. Your app can be used globally, right? We have 36 countries right now listening. We're even in India right now, which is amazing. So no matter where you are in the world, you can have access to an app like this, which can then, again, focus on those neighborhood gems no matter where you are in the world and celebrate and build this global community, not just a local New York only or Canada or America only. You can reach many different places in the world and use this app. So it's exciting.
Yeah. And it's definitely super interesting. Like in New York City in particular, there's quite a lot of trash just on the streets. And so, you know, I would really love to see a lot of that be reduced, a lot of this litter and things. I mean, sometimes people do throw it away in a trash can, but then it just blows out of the trash. But all that to say is that, the vast majority of litter that you see on the streets is just going to be basically disposable food and drink containers. And because they're sort of designed to be consumed and then just discarded immediately when that sort of container is no longer, of any use. So if we could really reduce single-use items in like the basically food and beverage industry, then that would have an outsized impact on city litter and, you know, in cities and parks and things. So it would really sort of beautify your city, wherever it is that you live, if, you know, you could get more support for reusables. And so I really wanted to give people an option to support reusables even if they only sort of have total control over their own consumption.
So what I like too, Alex, it's like one of the answers I hear in the media is, well, the big chains, let's just punish them for being non-eco-friendly. So we'll just punish them. We'll make it a fine, or we'll drag their name through the dirt on the news, and we'll just punish them. That's the answer. We'll punish them to the point where they start to be more compliant and more eco-friendly. What you're doing is you're rewarding people instead of punishing them. You're rewarding a cafe by being more eco-friendly than the big guys. So if you are eco-friendly and you are concerned about the environment using your app, you will now be pointed towards a cafe that is to be rewarded instead of just punishing somebody who really doesn't actively take steps to make a change, right? So you're all about rewarding a small neighborhood gym. I'm going to keep saying it because you came up with it. I love it. So you're rewarding that neighborhood gym by getting them on the app, having great reviews, encouraging users to use the app. And again, reward a small business or a mom and pop or a small chain that are making really conscious efforts to make a difference. So I love how the app is designed, and I really hope that people will, from this podcast, everyone that's listening, will go and download the app, first of all, and support you and all the good things you're doing, but then to be active users on the app and to try it and see how that works for them.
Yeah, for sure. They, you know, obviously people are attracted to the app mainly because of sustainability, right? But actually, a lot of the users that use it the most have told me, oh, I really like the neighborhood exploration aspect of this. And, you know, and they often say, like, oh, all I had ever noticed before was all like the, you know, like the Starbucks on every corner or whatever. And then they said, oh, when I started to look for more sustainable cafes, I realized that there are options, and it's just, you know, maybe not as super obvious or something, but more and more it becomes like a sort of neighborhood exploration tool. So, you know, I think it's that was a really nice surprise for me that there was this sort of bonus aspect to the app that people really enjoy.
One thing I was I've heard recently was one thing for people to change, it's their habits. It's you know, they might be wanting to support people, but I think it's a personal choice to change their habits as well. We heard that recently in anything, you know, is what you do on a regular basis. It's your habits that you need to change yourself first that will help be a better, you know, environment and so on and support.
It's definitely good to, you know, sort of sort out things for yourself. Like, especially with supply chains and things, there's often, particularly with coffee, is often like expectations that the beans are grown in a sustainably on a farm, and that's like that's great and that is important, but it just boggles my mind when there's that expectation and then we just like serve the coffee in a, you know, disposable cup, when it's much easier to make the consumption side sustainable, and yet there's more focus on like getting other people to do the sustainable things.
So how would you suggest that we change our mindset to be more eco-friendly in the future? What would your suggestions be to help change that?
Well, a lot of people say that it's good to try to focus on one thing at a time. And, you know, so I think it'd be great if people focused on coffee at first. But but really, whatever it is that you think would be, you know, an accessible thing if you want to try to lead your life in a more sustainable way. I think for a lot of people, composting is a sort of a watershed activity of... they see that once they start doing it, it's really not that hard, and it has these other benefits, like when you start composting, then your trash doesn't smell anymore, and And so, yeah, I would definitely try to go one thing at a time. And, you know, so that you don't burn out or, like, overburden yourself. And also, if you can find ways to sort of, you know, take advantage of the nice aspects that that brings along. So, like, with coffee, if you're drinking from sustainable cups and things, or reusable cups, then just think about that when you're sitting at a cafe and just sort of enjoying the ambiance rather than sort of rushing off to the next thing, you know, somewhere else in the city.
Yeah, it's nice to take. I think with COVID having come as it did, I believe a lot of people had to like naturally just stop and take a look at what was really important. And I think that's changed a lot of people's mindsets and just from COVID, it made us all stop and realize, hey, you know, we don't have access to everything anymore. What can we do different? So that's one thing I've noticed.
And it seemed to make people more receptive to change.
Right.
Because we're all forced to change. We had no choice, right?
Yeah.
You have to stay home. And it's like, what? We can't do what we normally do. So everybody's kind of had to at least be more open to the idea of changing and being more thoughtful and changing their regular routine. So right now to have an app, to introduce an app like yourself, and I think it's a great time to kind of boost that up because people are more receptive right now to, yeah, I think I do want to support a cafe that's more eco-friendly where normally I would just go to the big guys and do what's convenient to me. Maybe it's not about me anymore. Maybe it's about what I can do instead of about how it benefits me. How does it benefit others? Right. So maybe I will be more receptive and this app will definitely come in handy because now I can be more thoughtful and plan out my day around the app.
Yeah. And now with the supply chain issues, some cafes or, you know, lots of businesses are having actually a hard time getting all of the single use items. And so reusables can be a great way to sort of cut that problem off at the pass and just sort of not have to deal with it because, you know, you buy reusable mugs and things once and then you use them, you know, basically thousands of times. So, it can really solve a lot of issues that some businesses are dealing with.
So Alex, do you feel like you're making a difference with the app?
Yes, I do. I think it's definitely making a difference. I think for the, you know, being able to promote, the cafes that are already doing great with the app or, you know, doing great with sustainability. I mean, and, it would be really nice to sort of have the whole industry, the whole sort of coffee industry, change its defaults to where, you know, sort of just the general expectations of people as a whole change to where they expect reusables rather than sort of accepting the current default, which is mostly single-use items. And so we are making a change already, but what we really want to do is move the whole industry to a whole better set of default practices. So making progress, but not quite there yet.
So before we share a little bit in closing, Alex, I want to tell you a story. All right. You ready for a story?
Yeah.
Do you like stories?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Hopefully you like stories. Okay, here we go. So we've shared this story before in other opportunities, but I think it relates here as well. So the story is, it's about a starfish. So there's a, along the beach, the tide had come in and washed a bunch of starfish up on the beach. And there's starfish everywhere. Like there's just, you can't count them. There's so many on the beach, right? So you can just picture all these starfish and the tide's gone back out, stranding them on the beach. They can't go anywhere and they're helpless. There's this boy walking along the beach, picking up one starfish at a time and just chucking them back into the ocean. And there's so many, right? Alex, there's just too many, right? The need is too big. It's overwhelming. But he's picking up one at a time and throwing them into the ocean. an old gentleman walks up, grumpy old man, and scolds him for what he's doing, saying, look, there's too many. Alex, there's just too many on the beach. What you're doing is not having an impact, right? It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Great effort, but you're really not making a difference. And the boy picks up another starfish, looks at the old man and says, you know what? I might not be able to make a difference for everything, all of them on the beach, but I'm making a difference for this one. And he throws that one into the ocean. One at a time, making small little steps, mm-hmm. doing your best, being a part of the solution, instead of just saying the need is too big, it's overwhelming. You know what, Alex? You have an app, that's great. But really, you know, nobody's really going to use an app and get their coffee in a mug. It's overwhelming. Alex, look at the size of the, look at all the dump trucks. Look at all the garbage that we create. I like your efforts, but Alex, does it really matter? Like, are you making a difference? And what I see, Alex, from you is you're like that boy on the beach. You know, you might not be able to do everything. It might be overwhelming, the amount of waste and the mindset of people in our communities just to dispose of things because it's convenient to them. But you are making a difference with the app, where you could be making an app for something completely more selfish or something that benefits you personally. But you're doing this for a reason, to help shine the spotlight on being eco-friendly. So you're just like that boy on the beach. You're mm-hmm. just one at a time. Mm-hmm. You're just making a difference with what you can, and you're doing it.
Yeah.
So that's what I hear when I hear you talk, mm-hmm. right? And I just want to celebrate that, because yeah. it's nice to be part of the solution instead of just standing on the beach surrounded by the immense need and overwhelming, you know, task in front of you. You just created the app, and let's just go. Let's just start, right? And that's what I like about what you're doing.
Yeah, you haven't given up. You didn't give up just looking at, like he said, the need. You haven't given up. You've started, even if it's just one at a time. You got to start first before you can move forward. So
that's why we want to put the spotlight on the app. We want yeah. people to know about this.
Right.
So that as a listener, I can download this app right now. I can go to for iOS or Android. I can go download this, and I can now actively be a part of the solution instead of just being overwhelmed by the need and overwhelmed mm-hmm. by what's going on in the world. I can now take a step forward and work with you and support you and your app. So I love it. It's great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a very, very kind comparison. I really hope that we can, help a lot of people find more sustainable ways to do just sort of their everyday, everyday activities.
So we can find the app on the for iOS, for Android. You said you have Instagram as well. We'll put links to all this stuff in the show notes as well, so people can find you. Any words of wisdom that you have for our listeners around the world about how they can be more eco-friendly, or maybe some of the future plans for the app?
Sure. So, the app is available on iOS and Android. It's EcoRate altogether with no space. And it is free. That's a big part of it. And there's also a website version, which is ecorate.eco. If people want to help, it really helps more than it might seem, more than I think people can imagine, when you just leave a review of cafes that you go to. And that that could be, leaving a review of a big chain that just, serves everything in single-use items and stuff. Or it could be this, these neighborhood gems or something. Really, just every time you go, if you could leave a review, that'd be super helpful. Because that's how we find out what's what, and how we find out, who's doing the best. And that's basically what our ratings are generated from. And if you have any feedback, we're always open to that. There's a contact page on the app and on the website, or you can find us on on Instagram or Twitter, and you said you wanted to ask people what they could do. I think really when you start to get a few rated places in the same area, that's really when you start to see like, oh, how this one is better than that one, and like how, oh, what is it that this cafe is doing? It becomes a lot more interesting as more and more places are, you know, reviewed and rated in the same city.
I love again how it's customer driven. So the people listening, they have the power to help steer customers and other fellow customers to these neighborhood gems. So we said it again. I love it. It's really good. So I really, really appreciate that. So Alex, usually at the end of the podcast, we throw in a little secret word for our listeners who have listened all the way to the end with us. Some of our listeners come in and then they kind of drop off. But these are the listeners. These are the diehards. They were here at the beginning. They're still here with us right now. So what we like to do is leave them with a little secret word, a little Easter egg at the end. And we ask them to respond back to us, and they give us back the word, and then we know that we've connected with this listener, and we can celebrate that by either giving them a shout out on a future podcast or something.
Right.
We just want to have that back and forth with our listeners. So we're going to throw it to you, Alex, and you're going to give us a secret word for the podcast that we can share with our audience for them to respond back with. So do you have an idea in your mind of a secret Easter egg word that we can hide right now here at the end of the podcast?
You know, I was looking around for ways to promote, you know, reusables in cafes, and I came across this hashtag that I really like. This is called Mug Life. It's like all together one word, Mug Life.
Mug Life.
So it's just people that like post pictures of their favorite mugs, and I mean, it says like sort of innocent and wholesome as that. So
I love it. So Mug Life.
So yeah, Mug Life. How about that?
Perfect. I love it. I love it. It's great. Alex, thank you so much for your time today. We really do appreciate you joining with us. It was exciting for us to talk to you because we talk to other makers in our space. Mm-hmm. And like we said, everybody has a lane, right? And your lane is completely different than our lane. But mm-hmm. I love, again, that we're all headed in the same direction. Right. So supporting each other is a huge part of this eco-friendly movement and mindset to get in front of people and have them think more clearly and more consciously of what they can do in small little steps, one starfish at a time, that they can do to make a difference in their world. And this is it. EcoRate right here, the app. Mm. Get it, download it, make it a part of your daily routine.
Yeah, the sustainability community is definitely great. You know, all the people that you meet doing all these sort of different really cool projects. And so I hope to be able to visit your store someday. That'd be really nice.
That'd be cool.
We'll make you a cup of coffee and serve it to you in a mug.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll put a photo on Instagram and hashtag, you know, Mug Life.
Mug Life. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Upcycle Canada.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Okay. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Enjoy your day. And we're going to talk again soon. Okay.
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life, dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aww. It's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.